are listening to The Stick and Hack Show, a show about golf and life from a stick and a hack. Now, here's your host, Adam Grubb and Mike Ryan.
Hey, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Stick and Hack program. I'm your host, Adam Grubb, the Hack. That's Mike Ryan, the Stick. Mike, what's up?
Nothing, as usual.
You gotta,
it's just a boring life.
Oh, my God. At some point, you're going to have an answer that's going to shock me.
You know, one day I'll have something.
But you went on vacation. You've had a lot of things happening. But
I did.
I guess nobody cares. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Right.
All right. So we'll move on. The Stick and Hack Show, quite possibly the greatest show in the free world from the greatest golf club in the world without the course. That's Stick and Hack. Go to stickandhack.com and become a free member today and watch your life change before your very eyes. Guest today on the show is Ken Duke, pro golfer who spent many, many years on the PGA and is currently on the Champions Tour. We are honored and proud to have Ken Duke on the show today. He is he comes to us with over a 20-year career in the golf professional golf, but he's doing so many great things in his local area, but really for golf and in the philanthropic area. We're going to talk to him about that, but also his career, because he's one of those golfers that you've seen and heard from many, many years. And we're excited to have him on here. Mike,
I'm super pumped experience to have him on.
Experience with Ken Duke. Have you followed his career?
I have a little bit. Yeah.
He's and he comes, this is what I was told, that he's one of the nicest men on tour.
I've heard that as well. So I'm very excited.
So we'll find out about that, you know? Well, maybe we'll hit him with the hard questions to see how truly nice he really is. Speaking of the Champions Tour, And nice golfers on tour. There's a couple people that I've actually had the pleasure of playing golf with and meeting. One of them in professional ranks. One of them was Phil Blackmar, and I played in a pro am with Phil out at the Traditions at the Jeldwin Traditions back in the day in Oregon. And I found this story because the pro am is such a unique and incredible day before the tournament. Deal that the pros have to do. Most of them have to do them for sponsors, but the pro am is the epitome of stick and hack. If you think about it,
right, for sure.
There's nothing more stick and hack in the world than a pro am, and so these professionals they play golf and they're practicing their game. They're working on the course. They're doing their stuff. Their caddies are getting their yardage. They're doing all that, but they're also playing with some guy named Scott who's an accountant. Who won it in a raffle, right? and so he's playing with this professional, but there's so many things that can happen. And here's a couple stories that I want to tell you about the pro-am. So Phil Blackmar said, I was playing a pro-am down in Florida, and I had this guy that was probably 80 years old on my team. He's so old and weak that he can hardly hold on to the club. On the first hole, he gets up and takes this little half swing and rolls it to the end of the tee box. He rolls the next one about 15 yards and then hits the next shot another 15 yards. This goes on for a while, and finally we get to the tee at the third hole, and he says, hey, Phil, pro, tell me what I'm doing wrong. Help me out here. Phil says, the guy has a 14-mile-an-hour club head speed. He's 80 years old and can hardly stand up. I had to figure a way out of this and be very nice about it. I told him he had a very individualistic swing, and we probably needed to spend some time in the range rather than do it here on the golf course. 80 years old, hitting at 15 yards. What am I doing? I don't know. But can you imagine going through that and having to, you have to do it.
I know. That's the most like.
And they pay money to be a part of that, to yeah, go up with them.
His response to that is just.
But what do you think he told his caddy right after that? After he told the
what he really wanted old man to say River. What he really wanted to say was you just need not play golf.
Yeah. And maybe try fishing. Lauren Roberts said, I got paired in a pro-am 1 year in Flint, Michigan. And he looked at his card, and I just thought that amateurs, they'd forgotten to put their handicaps on there. I had two guys that started this golf club company. They both had listed themselves as scratch golfers, and they had these golf clubs they were trying to market with these huge baseball bat-sized grips. Every club was the same length. They went out and played with this stuff, and neither one of them broke 100, and they listed themselves as scratch players. So he shot a 4 or 5 under on his own ball, and that was their team score. So, can you imagine somebody trying to start a golf brand who can't golf? Oh, wait.
Oh, hey. Hey, guy. So, hey, guy across from me.
Well, it's interesting to put yourself in that category. You're the stick.
I'm all right.
But once again, Mike, you are just a lowly stick.
Yeah, I'm a lowly. Here. I'm way low on the rung right
Let's
now.
Bring in our guest, Ken Duke, professional golfer. Ken, good to see you, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, thanks for being on here. Welcome to the Stick and Hack Show. Your career has spanned over 2 decades. How many pro-ams have you played in, and what's the pro-am story that you fall back on if someone said, what was that like?
I've played in many. I enjoy them. Sure, you hear stories like that. But then you hear some guys that, some fun times that, they just want to have a good time. And that's the way my caddy and I have always approached the pro-ams, just have a good time. But there's a few of them that stands out in my book. I'll just give you one. Even last week in Tucson, that I had 4 amateurs, and they said, hey, we're going to play a wolf game. So, wolf game is you just pick your partner and you play all that stuff. And I said, I'm in. I'm definitely in. So obviously that's a good one. Another one, when I was at the Desert Bob Hope Classic back in the day when they had the amateurs, the second day, I think I shot 2 or 3 under the first day. The second day, a guy comes up to me. He's in second place. He said, I just want to let you know, I need a 67 or a 66 out of you today. I'm in second place. Now, all of a sudden, he's reading all of my putts, and he's wanting to help me with yard. Just don't hit it here. Don't hit it there. And this is during the tournament. This is the second day of the tournament. And I'm like, hold on a second here. I'm trying to make a living. You're just trying to win a gift certificate from Subway or something, and you want to tell me what to do? Come on. So,
Guy, why don't you pump the brakes? Why don't you just pump the brakes over there, fella? I happen to do this for a living, all right?
I can't even imagine.
But the Pro-Am is a really interesting format, and it is, and for those that might not know, there's a couple, and each Pro-Am is different how they do it, but the one that I was at, they had this dinner the Tuesday night before where it was an auction bid for the top guys that people wanted to play with. Well, at the time, Tom Watson went for like 10 grand or 15 grand or something like that, right? And there was nothing more adorable than when I put out a bid for like $800, and then someone's like, "Guy, come on!" Like I brought with me. I'm sorry, but people they can actually pay to play with these players, and it's an experience and it's a story for a lifetime. You guys then move on to the next week and don't necessarily think about that, but the Pro-Am is a story. I mean, God, that happened to me in 2006, 2007. And I'm still talking about it because that's my literal top pinnacle golf story is playing Pro-Am with Phil Blackmar. But it's a story for a lifetime. Do you guys think about that when you're playing?
We really don't. I mean, now they've gone away from everyone, all the Pro-Am guys bidding. They just draw your name out of the hat and say, okay, you can pick. But it still is kind of a slap in the face if you do get the last pick and you've been in that draw the whole day. But yeah, they've kind of gone away from all that stuff right now just because of the embarrassment for maybe some of the hams like you guys, you know?
Yep, indeed. So you've got you've got an interesting story. You were diagnosed with scoliosis at a very young age, and in a sport that is all about posture, that had to, I can't even imagine your career and coming through that, but you have overcame the debilitating disease of scoliosis. Tell us a little bit about that and that early childhood development.
Yeah, when I was 15, just routine checkups back in school, and the coach there said, hey, you need to check this out, and the doctor said, hey, you need to check it out with a bigger doctor, and diagnosed with scoliosis, and wore a body cast for six months to a year, took it off every time I'd play golf or any other sport, but it was getting so bad, curving into my lungs. There's a few different ones. There's an S curve, which is a curve at the top of your back, your spine, and a curve at the bottom, or it's a C curve, and now I have the C curve. So over a 4-month period as I was growing, it went from 50 degrees to 70 degrees curve, kind of like a C like that. My doctor said, you're just going to cut, it's pushing into your lungs, just cut off your wind. You can't condition very well with all these sports you're playing. So we need to have surgery. So I have a 16-inch steel rod in my back now to this day. It's 38 degrees is what it's at now. Now the technology is really, really good that they can take that curve out of your back. They put 2 rods in there parallel. Stacey Lewis has this procedure as well. And if you ever look at her back, it's pretty straight. Mine still has that curve in it. But the technology they've come up with nowadays, it's just unbelievable. But, golf is crazy. And everybody swings different. And when I met Bob Totsky, which is my teacher, he didn't know about my back. And when I explained to him about my back, he said, okay, we need to, this is why you take the golf club back very short instead of up to parallel. And we're going to have to adjust for this. And I know a few people know that, you know, Nick Faldo's made some comments. I can't believe he doesn't take the golf club back even further. And he didn't really understand why. And after, you know, two or three more months, he finally did some research and saw that, you know, that I had back surgery and I'm restricted to take it back further than that. But, you know, I've been healthy. I've been lucky. I do a lot of hospital visits all over the United States. My manager does a good job of getting me into different places and meeting kids, meeting doctors, giving back, seeing a friendly face instead of just seeing your doctors and nurses all the time. And knowing that some of these kids are never getting out of a wheelchair or they're doing a lot of halos right now. It's sad, but I'm doing everything I can to just to spread the word and you know, people reach out to me on social media all the time. Hey, I'm going in for my back surgery, you know, in a month. Do you think that I can play golf again? And, you know, I end up calling them or, you know, we talk and just talk about it. And then they reach out to me after the fact, but I've been lucky so far. Very lucky so far.
That's amazing. I mean, and Ken, you've really experienced, I would say, the gambit of emotions on the PGA Tour. You've been a winner. You've had to go through, you know, losing your card, earning it back. How have you been able to stay so mentally tough and sustain a career on the PGA Tour and now the Champions Tour and not let that grind get the best of you? Because I know that's one of the things a lot of guys talk about being on the tour is that grind and how difficult and how that can wear on you over the years.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different ways, and everyone, you know, stretches out and reaches out differently. For me, I get away from the game. I'll go fish a lot. That's what I love to do when I'm off season. Sometimes you need that mind and body just to rest. But then you got to think, you know what? I've hit this shot 1,000 times. There's no reason why I can't do it again. And sometimes you just have to say, I got to do it, and we do it. And just believe in yourself as much as possible. And that's why you practice is just keep fighting. I've never been somebody that just gives up. I've always been a fighter. You know, many times on tour, I've shot 2 or 3 over on the front and shot 4 or 5 under on the back and end up making the cut and finish top 15. It's just, you just got to keep, put your head down and just grind. And that's all we know how to do. And that's all I know how to do. Brought up with not a lot of money with my parents. They were 9-to-5 people working, and I just always fought and did the best I could do.
And it seems like you have had that type of career where you've had enough success to continue on, but you've also had enough opportunities to learn and to come at this with that same attitude. It hasn't been like 20 years and you're in top 20 money and all that. You really had to fight through some things. And Mike, you alluded to it a second ago, losing your card. I can't even imagine what that process is like. I know how I hear that, how stressful it is, but when you are a professional golfer and you no longer then have the opportunity to play professional golf on the highest stage, what happens to you mentally and what do you start doing to get back to that next phase?
Well, you either just give up, which we all see a lot of people do that. They just give up and okay, I'm going to get a job. Number of young athletes that started out playing that are a lot better than I am or I was, you know, they just, after a couple of years, I just can't make it. Well, you're just a quitter. You can't give up. You just give up. That's just the way it goes sometimes. Or you just got to put your head down and just grind it out and you know, have a break here and there and believe in what you can do and believe in your game. I can't play your guys' game. You can't play mine. And, you know, you just have to believe in what you do, not what everyone else. You can't get caught up in what everyone else is doing because it's totally different in this game of golf.
Who are some of your golf mentors in your career, either growing up or even as you've had your career on the tour?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been a Jack Nicklaus fan. I mean, I've been a Larry Bird fan. That's my guy. And, yeah, and Jack Nicklaus, that's my two athletes that, you know, just worked hard and a lot of success and just believe in what they've done and push forward. They believe in themselves and obviously, you know, getting a chance to work with the Hall of Famer Bob Totsky since 2006, the stories that I hear from this guy and what they used to do. Sometimes I don't even go to the range and hit balls because he has you so mentally jacked up that you just want to go play as much as you can. And you just believe that you can hit any shot and make any kind of putt. The guys that he used to hang around with, with Hogan and Snead and Demerit and Byron Nelson, all those guys, it's priceless. Those guys are Hall of Famers. They're history. And just getting those good vibes of what the positive energy that he passes on, it's been a blessing for my career since 2006.
Ken, at the 2016 Players Championship, and this kind of plays off of that last answer, you shot a 65 on Saturday that weekend, and there was a fellow competitor who was quoted saying, whatever the course record is, that round should be it. What is it like when you get it going and everything falls into place? How do you stay focused in the moment so that you don't kind of get yourself out of that zone?
And let me interrupt for a second. I think part of that is that, if I remember correctly, it was windy and rainy and awful weather. And like, you not just shot a 65.
Yeah.
You shot a 65 under circumstances and conditions that nobody should ever shoot 65.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, the conditions of that golf course that week, it was firm and fast and it was windy, but they were getting ready to redo the golf course on that Monday. So they were kind of letting the greens go, and we did not finish our round on Friday. So we had to come back Saturday morning and play four or five holes and finish. Then what happened was they re-rolled the greens and recut the greens before we went out on Saturday afternoon. And they didn't tell us. The rules officials and the committee didn't tell us. And that's why Rory and Jason Day and a bunch of those guys were complaining about. All you got to do is tell us, then we kind of know. But after the first couple of holes, Jason Kern and James Hahn and I, we all knew that the golf course and the greens were going to be a little bit faster than what they were. It was just one of those days that this is why you practice. You have to stay in the moment of where you are. You cannot get caught up in what you're shooting. Sure, I've shot some lower scores in the 65, obviously different conditions than obviously at the Players Championship, but that's why you practice and you stay in the moment. You just keep hitting the ball where you're supposed to hit it. I walk slower. I slow everything down. My caddy knew my mannerisms. He knew where we were. But both of us did not know anything about our score, what that score that day was going to be like. We just tried to do the best we could do. And obviously, and that's why I told Rory and Jason at breakfast the next morning, guys, you guys shot 60s or 62s before. I mean, what's the big deal? I shot 65. It wasn't that big of a deal. But this, the way the conditions was, it was very difficult. When we got done, everyone's talking about, oh my gosh, you shot 65 and, no one else is shooting, par. They're shooting 75. You're beating the field by 10 shots. And I didn't know. I just was trying to do the best I could do and move up the board to third round. And obviously, a bunch after that tournament was over and Jason ended up winning, they had a controversy about, who had the best round that year. If it was mine or, I know Snedeker shot 69 out at Torrey and beat the field and won. And then obviously Jim Furyk up at Travelers shot 58. I mean, how can my round be better than Jim's? I mean, 58, are you kidding me? But I think it's just the beating by the stroke of the field. It's kind of like threw mine in there, but what a wonderful day for my caddy and I and the exposure we got for that. It was pretty special, wonderful day and never forget it. And they tore the golf course up and the different holes now. So, we definitely will never forget that.
Right.
They said Ken Duke shot 65.
Yeah, we got to change this thing.
Somebody get out there and handle that. I would like to highlight my earlier question or statement. Ken Duke is the nicest man on tour. Listen to him. He's talking about other competitors.
He is.
My God.
It's a no-brainer.
Ken, when you're thinking about your career, do you love the spot you're at today in the Champions Tour and we're playing with these guys and seeing the same guys every week? And there's pressure, there's stress, of course there is. I mean, you're still earning a living. This is your job. This is what you love. But is it different for you mentally on the Champions Tour than it was on the PGA Tour?
Exactly. I mean, totally two different tours. I mean, it seems like a job on the PGA Tour. Obviously you have to make a cut. On the Champions Tour, we do not have cuts, but just how everyone's laid back. I mean, you see all the Hall of Famers out there with Harold Irwin and just some of those guys, you know, it's just, they'll come out there and hit some balls and eat lunch, then they'll leave, go take a nap, and they may come back. You know, you don't see that on the PGA Tour. Everybody's working out in the morning, playing, working out again, working on their game, and having their coaches and their teachers and everybody out there. It's a totally different mindset, but yeah, I love both tours. Wish I could play a few more tour events. Ask for invites and trying to get in as much as I can, doing a few Mondays. But the Champions Tour for me is where it's at, and yeah, I can compete out there. It's a lot of bunch of good guys, and it's just a laid back environment. It's really fun.
Mike, it reminds me of like the Champions Tour would be like your local club. You know, you see the same guys, you're playing with the same guys, you're playing for 4 days. I mean, what he just described sounds like everybody's, that's the
sounds
dream.
Like my Saturday. Like I go hit some balls and I go home and take a nap. Then I might, maybe I'll go play again.
The only difference is you're not getting paid 65 grand to wear a polo.
Also true.
Ken, I will ask you in today's Champions Tour, there's one person that everybody's talking about. Maybe you've heard of him. Phil Mickelson is at that spot now where he's teetering both tours and doing what Phil does, right? There's, I don't know if it's controversy, but there's a lot of chatter about, you know, his ability out there and playing. But that's got to still be fun to see him there and for him to be a part of that and the excitement that he, I mean, he's one of the top golfers of all time. And to see him on that tour, are the guys excited about that? Do they like seeing him out there? And what's the deal there?
I mean, I think it's mixed. I mean, some guys like, oh my gosh, here comes Phil. You know, what's he going to do this week? You know, but that's the way it is on the big tour, right?
Right.
It's the same difference. Yeah. But no, we all welcome him in as long as, you know, he stays in his own area and does his own thing. But I mean, even with Ernie out there and Jim Furyk out there, they're great. Phil is that guy that loves to chat. And on this Champions Tour, they have no problem with chatting, and he loves it. And obviously we miss all the fans, and I think that's the biggest thing. If the fans were out there on this Champions Tour with Phil out there, man, it would be a Waste Management 16th hole every hole for Phil. It'd be amazing. It'd be amazing.
That's great.
Mike, have you ever been to a Champions Tour event?
U.S. Senior Open, but not technically Champions Tour, but yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
there is the environment is much different.
It's notably different.
It is
as far as just like Ken said, it's much more laid
it's friendly.
Back.
It's friendly.
It's much more laid back. People you can tell are not as they're not grinding as hard. I feel like out on the Champions.
Well, even
tour.
the fans are different. Yeah, I mean, they're almost absolutely. There seeing their heroes, seeing not watching a famous athlete.
Yeah.
You know, on the course, they're watching guys they've grown up with or that are similar ages. And I mean, Ken and I talked before the show. We've got daughters that play volleyball. I've got something in common with Ken Duke. Okay. and the other thing is that we both own golf clubs. And that's pretty much
where it is.
But you do feel a kinship to some of these older players that you have been with and watched. And when I'm in my 50s, looking and thinking about Jason Day and Rory and all these guys that are going to be in that, it's hilarious to think about that at some point everybody gets older, everybody goes on to that next stage and that next phase. But the Champions Tour is quite a tour, and it's getting better and better. It is the purses are big, the tournaments are great, and there's some big names that we've all known for many years, right, Ken?
That's right, yeah, and that's the beauty of it. And those guys are a little more laid back to get on the Champions Tour compared to the big tour. Like I was saying, it's so much stress on the big tour, and it's like a relief when they get out there and, oh, I can jump in a cart this week. Oh, okay. I'll just drive the cart. So that's what happens sometimes as well. So they're pretty laid back out there.
You've got a lot to be proud of on the course and off the course, of course, but there's something specific that you have every year, the Ken Duke and Friends and your charitable contributions and your Pro-Am event and some of that stuff. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing off the golf course.
Yeah, I've always wanted to give back to whatever I was doing and to help the community. Back in Arkansas, where I'm from, we built an indoor practice facility for the kids at Henderson State University, the girls and boys teams there back a few years ago. and obviously they love it. And, you know, with the cold weather and stuff in the Midwest right now, that they can practice. But down here in South Florida, we'll form the Kenduke and Friends Charity Pro-Am. It's just people I've met in pro-ams, not that guy that I was talking about in Palm Springs, you know, the Bob Holt, but just people that I've met over the years that has a lot of money that supports charities. And we donate to the Folds of Honor, Colonel Rooney and the crew over there in Tulsa. And we do two local charities. We switch them up here in Martin County. It's just great. I bring a lot of baseball, football, basketball guys in, some golf pros, but it's not about really about golf. It's just about everyone getting together. I have some country music friends that love to play golf. They come in and play music, and we have 3 days of, a couple parties and we do throw 1 day of golf in there, but it's just all about giving back and helping out as much as we can. And it's been wonderful.
Well, I think Stick and Hack would love to be a part of that for sure. That sounds literally right up our alley as far as, honestly, and I'm not being funny. I know it sounds like I'm being funny, but that's what we're building here is that, like, there's some golf thrown in, but there's this life and family and music and food and companionship and friendship and giving back. It's great what you're doing out there. You've done a lot for the golf community. You're doing a lot for your local community. And we just can't thank you enough for your time here. Ken Duke, pro golfer, go find him on the Champions Tour and follow him around. Hopefully we'll see you on the PGA Tour here as well at some point this season. There's as fans start coming back in and golf is at its highest peak it's been in years, we hope that you get to be a part of that on the PGA as well.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much for having me on, and I appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you, Ken. Stick around. Do you want to play a game? We're going to play a game called In or Out. Do you want to play that in a second?
I'm in.
Great.
I'm out. I don't know which one.
You're in. For right, sure.
We'll bring you back here in just a second. Mike, time for the takeaway here. Ken Duke, pro golfer, your takeaway.
That he's just an amazingly nice guy. But on top of that, just learning more about, you know, some of the things that he had to overcome as a child is amazing to me. The idea of having a steel rod in your back and still being able to play golf, especially at a professional level, to me is amazing. He's one of those guys that every time I've ever seen him up, you know, near the top of the leaderboard, right, he's like that guy that I'm like, yeah, I'm cheering for.
Right. Come on, Ken.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, he's just one of the nicest guys and just was so excited to have him on, and he's so great to talk to you. So,
my takeaway is the Champions Tour is something to really pay attention to, and to watch it on TV. To if you get an opportunity, and there are tour events all over the country. If there is an opportunity to go see it, because of what he described, is what I felt it was. I didn't know it, but I felt like it was. Hey, these are my buddies, and this is we get to play golf every weekend and for 4 days and. And it's stressful, but a little stress-free in some cases. And they've got sponsors and fans and people that have watched them for years. It just feels like that's the fun part of golf. And when you think of becoming a professional golfer, that's what everyone envisions. You just have to wait 25 years to get there. But I think that was fascinating on the senior tour. And hopefully you guys can go see one of those events, because they are,
yeah.
And the names that he's talking about, though,
for sure.
you don't even think about it. Like, yeah. Furyk and Vijay and these guys, it's the who's who, at least for our generation.
Yeah.
Now there,
it's really legit. Cool. They're really fun events to attend.
Yeah.
I've been to a couple of those senior US Opens, and they're so much fun.
Yeah,
so.
Indeed. All right, let's play In or Out. Ken Duke comes back in. Ken, we're going to play In or Out. This is of our foursome. It's you, Mike, and myself playing golf, and we can bring somebody into this foursome, all right? So In or Out, and it's just a quick answer if they're in or out of our foursome. Got it? Okay. I guess it's not that difficult.
It's not. It really
all right, so we're going to do Famous Kens. Okay?
Very creative.
Thank you. Right. Famous Kens. All right. In or out of our foursome.
All right.
Ken Griffey Jr.
In.
In.
In. Ken Burns.
Out.
Definitely
the Jeopardy
out.
Guy? The Jeopardy guy?
No. Ken Burns is a filmmaker.
That's Ken Jennings.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Ken Jennings. That's right.
Hey, guys, can we not get ahead of the list, please? There's only a few Kens in the world that are famous. So relax.
I just saw him on there too, and I didn't even realize.
Oh my God. Ken Burns is the filmmaker. He Civil War and baseball, and he's the doc. Okay.
I don't even know who that is. So he's definitely out in my book.
He did. It doesn't matter. Screw him. He's out. Sorry, Ken Burns. Ken Jennings.
Out.
Yep.
All in.
I say in as well.
That's fine.
Because he would just be there if I had a question. Like,
about anything?
Anything. Ken, what's the situation with this? Ken Rogers.
In.
Definitely in.
In, I think. Ken.
Think?
Yeah.
Okay. Kenny Rogers?
Okay. But Ken Rogers. Kenny Rogers, sure.
Sure.
Ken Rogers is my accountant.
All right,
Ken Loggins.
In.
In.
I'm out on Ken Loggins. No way.
Oh. Are you kidding? Oh, my God. He has so many 80s, just like amazing songs.
You're right. He's in. Kenny Loggins is in. Just because I remember someone saying, hey, you should have him on the show. So I don't want to screw that up.
Fine.
Ken Stabler.
In.
Yeah, and definitely in. The snake. Definitely the snake.
100% in. Yeah. Ken Chesney.
In.
In.
Yeah.
Out.
Out. Come on.
Nope.
I got a buddy who kind of looks like him.
Well, he'd be out too.
Yeah, we call him Skinny Chesney.
all right, Ken.
Like Barbie?
Yeah, Barbie and Ken. Ken. Just the Ken.
Out.
Out.
Nice. All right. I say out as well. Sorry, Ken. Go back to the dream home. Leave us alone. All right, there he goes. Ken Duke. Go to KenDuke.com for more information. And it's at DukePGA on Twitter. Ken, thank you so much for your time today. Hope you enjoyed the Stick and Hack program and continued success out there. Hope to see you very, very soon.
Appreciate it, guys. Enjoy your sweetest fish.
Oh, God. I knew it.
Producer Shane still gets a shout out somehow on this show.
We
tried for the entire episode to not get Producer Shane involved. And there he is.
Oh, my goodness.
Right, you guys have a great day. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Peace out, guys.
Okay. We're done. This has been the Stick and Hack Show. Go to stickandhack.com to become a free member of the world's greatest golf club without the course.